T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Anthony drives one in the air to left field. Going back is Renfro. It's got a chance! Grand slam! Grand slam, Anthony Rizzo! Cubs lead 4-3.
The 1-0. This one is hit in the air to right. Going back is the right fielder, Reyes. He looks up. Kiss this one goodbye! Javier Baez gives the Cubs the lead. A solo home run. Cubs 5, Padres 4 here in the fifth.
The pitch to Machado, 1-2. Swing and a miss, strike 3. Lester strikes him out to end the inning. Bouncing ball toward third. Short hop by Machado comes home in time and the throw to first. Not in time. It gets away. Here comes Russell. Here comes Hayward. Hayward's going to try to score. Nope. Hayward goes back to third. The Cubs take the lead. The Cubs take the lead. The pitch. Strike 3 called. Cubs win. Cubs win the ball game. Mejia takes a called third strike, and the Cubs win game one by a score of 6-5.
We played relatively well against the Pirates after that first game, and then this last series, we did okay. We did better, and today was just a tough all-around game. I'm saying there's another level of us that I want to see. We got to hit lefties, man. We got to figure that part of it out.
I'm tired. It was a long day, but like I said, I mean, it's we're all out there together. You know, the team has to play in it just like we do, and it is what it is.
Yeah, I did. So I was for him, and you know, he's running a 5K tomorrow, I believe, and for Kids with Cancer. So that's really special of him to come and hang out here. I mean, he wrote me a note before the game saying, "Let's help kids be kids." So it's a 9-year-old. Going out of his way to run for kids with cancer. That's complete. He's completely healthy. So, you know, it's amazing to see little kids giving back like that, how much he cares, what a heart he has.
3-2, Garcia at second. In the air, right-hand side. Meadows charging again. He's not going to get there. It bounces away from him. Garcia scores. Moncada's into second. The Sox are peppering the right field side with fly ball base hits. That's lined to left field by Yoan. Fams up with it. Garcia's coming home, throw to the plate. Moncada behind it gets to second, and the Sox are cooking here tonight in Tampa. Two down, ninth inning. And Ruiz to Brasso, who swings at the first pitch and sends it out to center. Angles back, Adam is there, and that'll do it. Sox win in a big way, shattering the losing streak, 9-2, your final score.
So I'm sorry to report to my friends in Chicago, the nightmare continues.
Chicago Tribune sports page?
Really?
Column by Stephen Rosenblum.
Steve Rosenblum. You know him? Never heard the name before yet.
Steve Rosenblum.
I think Chance the Rabbi is the way to go.
Brian Peruk.
Well, when's he coming back?
I said, do you want to come back? And it was an emphatic no.
There you go. Well, we're glad he misses us.
Where's Grody?
Sitting in for Mark Grody, who's sitting in for Brian Peruk, it's Mike Esposito.
I almost put that in my update just so I could say Esposito in the update again, but I didn't.
They suck, so you don't have to.
I can promise you this. When this show is over, we will tweet out an apology to our listeners.
For some reason, they sing.
Take the last train to Turdsville, and we'll meet you at the station. Take the last train to Turdsville. They're in need of sanitation, don't you know?
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
And they won't stop singing.
Lido.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
It's a master's course in stupid.
You're tapping two kegs of stupid, and it is really flowing.
Yeah, I don't, and yeah, I got into journalism because I was told math was not part of it.
They have celebrity rebukes. This is Wayne Messmer, Senior Executive Vice President of the Wolves. You know, in all my years involved in sports and many teams, I have never been involved with something that sucks so badly. The three words that best describe this show are as follows, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Rosenbloom and Esposito on WSCR 670 The Score.
We should be 670 WSUK. Good morning and welcome in. Saturday Suckage, WSCR with the Cubs highlights coming in. Madden, Lester, Rizzo in the postgame, NBC Sports Chicago with the Sox highlights, and there actually were Sox highlights. And look who's back.
Hi.
Look who's back.
And it's so wonderful to be back. And I think the Sox line this up this way. Who's pitching tonight?
Giolito. He's Mike Esposito, who's sitting in for Matt Spiegel, who is sitting in for Mike Esposito, who is sitting in for Jordan Bernfield, who is sitting in for Mark Grody, who is sitting in for Wayne Randazzo, who is sitting in for Brian Peruk. We're all in for Dave Baum. Hi, Espo.
Hi.
And by the way, Stacy Esposito is wearing normal colored sort of summer blonde hair. Is she feeling okay? You showed me this picture, and I thought, there must be something wrong. This is a cry for help.
This hour, by the way, brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877 Cars for Kids.
Is this summer instead blonde, of blinking summer, that she wants out of their marriage? Is this how this works?
I hope not. Summer blonde is usually you could usually count on summer blonde. The rest of the year is when the wild cards come in. So I think we're good for the next month or so. And then once school starts, all bets are off.
When does the Pantone color of the year get announced? Because I always look for that.
That I don't know.
So you were there yesterday at the Cubs Sweat-a-thon.
I was.
Oh, by the way, let me mention this. You and Bruce were talking about this touching story about Disco Tony Rizzo being asked to hit a home run by this 9-year-old Mateo
Lambert of Vienna, Virginia.
And he's doing these runs. He's not a kid with cancer. He has not been affected by it, but he has, at a young age, he is showing a huge heart, and he is participating in these 5K and 10K runs to raise money for pediatric cancer patients.
Yep.
Right?
And so, he's run 33 races in 15 states, and he was at the game yesterday. I actually saw him before the game, and he did. He asked Rizzo to hit a home run for him before the game for kids with cancer, and we got
a grand slam.
You got a
Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig moment. That's a pride of the Yankees moment.
Yep.
So he was going to run in the rock and roll marathon. Right, the rock and roll marathon race that was scheduled for this morning before our shows. It was canceled because of the heat that you survived a Cubs game.
Yes,
so that was canceled. However, if you were participating in, and Mateo is also running in 10Ks, there's a 10K race scheduled for tomorrow, as well as a half marathon. Those are still on. They've also offered the option of running a 7.3-mile course instead of the normal half marathon, and you can still get a participation trophy or something like that. So you still might see him. He still might run. It's a great story. And if you were one of the runners who got, you know, whose race you were looking forward to the 5K, and we always look forward to dodging a lot of the streets that get blocked off for that trying to get here. There's both races are on tomorrow, the 10K and the half marathon. They're still going on because the weather's supposed to break early tomorrow morning.
Yes, the weather will be a lot nicer tomorrow, and we appreciate all of our mailmen. Mailman Nuts texts in and says, try as we might, we will not suck as much as today's weather. I mean, we're going to give it a go. But yeah. I don't know.
We're late to this. We apologize. We suck so you don't have to. I'm really sorry to all our letter carriers who do a terrific job. And I would just bring a change of clothes. That's all. You needed one.
I need yesterday. I was in for Zach for pre and post because Zach was in for Coomer.
Did Coomer take another fat guy's day off?
You know, it worked out that way, and we were commenting beforehand on how his timing was pretty perfect for this because you had the scheduled day off Thursday and then the 108-degree heat index on Friday. Now, he's back today. But, yeah, I mean, a scheduled day off followed by a scheduled vacation day for Coom. So I was in the booth yesterday, and I always love getting being able to do that Cubs games live. But it was a hot one. And we're in the shade at the very least. There's no sun in the booths. The sun does not get into there. But I can only imagine it was a little bit hotter for the people sitting out in the bleachers or sitting out in the sun. And I know how sweaty it was up in the booth. I needed several showers throughout the course of the day. I only got one when I got home. But outside of that, it was, hey, Cubs got a win. We got a grand slam for kids with cancer. And Craig Kimbrell brought us all home in an exciting fashion.
And earlier, before the game, Joe Maddon had been lamenting how the Cubs suck against left-handed hitting or left-handed pitching.
Yes, he was.
And he mentioned Rizzo, specifically mentioned Rizzo. So Rizzo answered, and the thing about the lefties was, and the thing about the home runs, both Baez and Rizzo went oppo.
Mm-hmm.
We say oppo on this show.
Yes, we do.
Oppo.
They did go oppo.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the Rizzo thing, and a key moment in that sequence in the third inning, Chris Bryant batting with two on and two out right in front of Rizzo, had a 2-2 count. He took a really close ball three that I know the Padres wanted. The Padres catcher, Mejia, held it there for 3 or 4 seconds.
It's because he's Chris Bryant and the pitcher isn't.
Right. Well, so he got the call for ball three. Ball four was a clear ball four, loading the bases for Rizzo, which turned out to be the big hit of the game. But without that at bat and the great eye of Chris Bryant, you're probably scoring 0 runs in that inning instead of 4.
And the dog breath Padres are beating you. That's the way it's. Okay, so speaking of which, what's it going to take for Pedro Strop to fall out of the circle of trust? These eighth inning, eighth inning home runs. He's the eighth inning guy, and what he does is give up home runs in the eighth inning. And this is, just to clarify, not a good thing.
Not a good thing. Pinch hitter Josh Naylor led off the eighth. I don't know if it was the first pitch, but if it wasn't the first pitch, it was the second.
It was the longest.
It was a rocket into center field, and it was a high wire act getting out of that eighth inning, but they did, and then they used Padres fielding suckage to get that go-ahead run in the bottom of the eighth. This, by the way, U.S. Open coverage brought to you by the BMW Championship at Medina Country Club August 13th through August 18th. Visit BMWChampionship.com.
I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito. This is Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. We have failed in the weather department. We have failed in the eighth inning when Pedro Strop is on. And as one texter noted before we even came on the air, we have failed in the Daniel Descalzo department.
That's right.
Too.
This show sucks more than Daniel Descalzo in the field. That from the 815. We also have the dueling mailmen, and we love our letter carriers. Darren from
Pascagoula,
Mississippi says, mailmen up north need to stop crying about the heat. It's in the 90s every day here for about 6 months.
Okay, I have this. The heat's all over. It's the north and the northeast, which, you know, we get. I was watching WGN last night, the news, and Tom Skilling flashed a picture sent in by a listener of when Lincoln Park was snowed, when it was 8 feet high of snow.
Mm-hmm.
Said, remember this? So shut up about that.
In Boston,
this is from Only in Boston on the Tweeter machine. Apparently, it looks legit. I don't know, but it's a great prank if it's not. The Braintree Police Department tweeted this out. Folks, due to the extreme heat, we are asking anyone thinking of doing criminal activity to hold off until Monday. It is straight up hot as soccer balls out there. Conducting criminal activity in this extreme heat is next level henchman status, but also very dangerous. Stay home, blast the AC, binge Stranger Things Season 3, play with the Face app, practice karate in your basement. We will all meet again on Monday when it's cooler. Sincerely, the Popo. P.S. Please, no spoiler alerts. We're just finishing season two. I love the Braintree Police Department, if that's them.
That was fantastic. And we also had this. And actually, Bruce and I had Kyle Schwarber on Inside the Clubhouse earlier. I asked him.
After his one hard, and only clutch hit?
Hard-hitting journalism. I asked him before we let him go if he preferred the Polar Vortex or this. And he chose this without question. And Pat, during the broadcast yesterday, Pat Hughes, our Hall of Future Hall of Fame play-by-play guy for Cubs baseball, compared the winter's low wind chill of, I want to say it was 55 below zero during the vortex, to yesterday's heat index of 108, and the math there works out to a difference of 163 degrees. So that there was, so we were doing some math and some weather in the booth yesterday during the game.
I got into sports because I thought there was no math involved. That's not going to happen. Okay, today, Espo's return, we have a variety show for you, actually. we will be featuring Doug Buffone. We'll do that in the next segment. The best of Doug Buffone, which should be a weekly segment on Some Score Show, and we're willing to put our hands up and volunteer. We'll explain that. We have the Hall of Fame induction tied in with the landing on the moon. Seriously, we can tie those in. That's how it works. We have David Schuster, because nothing says Saturday suckage like David Schuster. And this, we have a WB Club induction.
An induction?
Yeah, we do. We do. And we're going to do that. We're going to do that.
Excited about that.
Before we get to Doug Buffone. Margo Price. Miss Margo Price?
Yes.
Margo Price fan? Yeah, I know you love music.
Sure.
You like country or Western. You have to make a decision. Margo Price tweeted this out on the 18th. So that was Thursday. Going through the car wash and blasting Neil Young's Cinnamon Girl while doing a J can turn any day around. That.
It's a solid car wash right there.
That's quality. That's Wake and Bake Club induction. I have to tell you something else because Margo Price brought this up as at my Trader Joe's. Bob's daughter is the curator for the Country Music Hall of Fame.
I have visited that.
We were, and it's a really great museum, right? Okay, so Bob, we're talking about Nashville and Nash Vegas and how we both love it, and he says his daughter's a curator for the Country Music Hall of Fame, and it's wonderful just going back to the start, back with the original Hank Williams. He says she gets a call. Would you like some Loretta Lynn outfits from her performing days?
Yeah.
We're the country.
This is where
coal miner's
we
daughter. This is exactly what we do here.
Yes.
We can send a car. We can send a truck. How should this? No, it's okay. We'll be in the area. We'll drop it off. So like a half hour later, and there's like a knock at the door. Somebody at the front says, tells Bob's daughter, "You need to come out here. Loretta Lynn's clothes are here." And Loretta Lynn is, too.
She brought
her own clothes, which solves the whole problem of authenticating the clothes. I mean, I love that.
Here's a picture of Loretta Lynn with her clothes. This is how we know they're real. She brought them.
That's it.
She brought them here.
Here's Loretta Lynn. Here's her clothes. I love that. Bob from my Trader Joe's was telling that story. It's just wonderful.
And in a random other country music tie-in, the Garth Brooks dive bar thing at once upon a time, when I was a young lad trying to break into this wonderful media business, I used to work at Joe's Bar on Wheat Street. So I've seen many a concert there.
Yes.
And Garth Brooks on Monday night played there as part of the dive bar thing. My neighbor, of all people, randomly won tickets through US 99 and was there, and I got firsthand reporting on that, so we could talk a little bit about that later if you want to as well. Yeah, Garth, Mr. Stadium, Mr. Country Hall of Fame, you know, two decades of hits playing at a 600-person venue.
And taking batting practice with the Giants, right? Didn't he take batting practice with the Giants?
He's some San Diego, I want to say.
San Diego?
I think so, yes.
So is he in town? Is he going to play for them?
No, apparently it was an In-N-Out affair, and it was for Jimmy Kimmel.
In-N-Out.
And
In-N-Out burger.
Yeah. Burger.
All right, we'll take a break. Oh, also shout out to my Trader Joe's to Mikey, who's 40 years younger than me, but she's my big sister. She was in the pledge class ahead of me.
There you go.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, the Tribune, Chicago Tribune, formerly my Chicago Tribune, did us a favor. They named Doug Buffone. They put him on their list of 100 best Bears ever. So we'll discuss that, and we will bring you the best of Buffone. In this regard, Doug is number one.
Oh, yeah.
There is no question. Doug is number one. OB is 1A, but Doug had more time. So Doug is really 1AA. Mm-hmm. That's the way it's going to work. We will bring you the best of Buffone to honor a legend, a beloved man here at The Score. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito. We suck so you don't have to. Chicago Sports Radio 6.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Score.
We're going to go an update now with Brian Baruch.
Scoreboard update.
Oh, that's perfect. It's so perfect. That was the beloved Doug Buffone. We're so proud. We're so happy that the Tribune, in running down its list of the 100 greatest, 100 best Bears ever, today was number 48. It was Doug Buffone, good old number 55. And it was today, mm-hmm. Saturday, the WB Club, the Wake and Bake Club. Doug died on 420. What could be more appropriate for us to talk about him? He died 420, 2015. And there is the story that Will Larkin wrote was basically Doug's, the love affair Doug had with Chicago, but it was so Score listener influenced.
Yeah.
He played 14 years for lousy teams. So he knew a lousy team when he was analyzing it with OB. And the greatest thing ever, it was a Bears loss, was a lousy Bears team, because it was the best of Buffone and OB.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best post-game show. And, I mean, that goes for anywhere, any sport, anytime, anywhere. Nothing could compare to that.
The quarterback stunk. The offensive line stunk. Special teams stunk. Defense stunk. The running game stunk. The coaches stunk.
Doug had, there was something for everybody. When I was working with Dave Baum at the bunker on Belmont, Buffone would usually be working with, oftentimes Bernstein at the time, but he would be working the show that would begin at 10.
Uh-huh.
So I sat with my back to the door, and Dave Baum, the radio partner that he was, would never let me know when Buffone was entering the studio, this little cubbyhole of a studio, this bunker. And then Buffone would wrap that big forearm around my throat and stop when I turned purple. I was on the verge of death.
Hey, Steve, how you doing? Here's a chokehold.
I've had it.
So we've cobbled together, as you can hear, the best of Buffone, and it really should be a weekly segment.
I'd love to hear it, and we'll also throw this in the bottom of the hour, brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West Division champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season and single game tickets on sale now at nusports.com. I believe I've told this story on the air before, but I don't know if it's been with you, so I'll repeat it because it's worth repeating as we're talking about Doug. I was the update guy on Super Bowl Sunday when Buffone and OB did their postgame show after the Bears lost to the Colts. So I'm here. It's just the three of us in the studio. As you'd imagine, Super Bowl Sunday on a Sunday night, not exactly a lot of people hanging around the radio station. It was literally just the three of us in the studio. And watching any game with those two is a thing because of how into it they are with their ties to the Bears. Watching that Super Bowl game with those guys, especially as we all know now how it played out,
You can only imagine they got a little fired up in a bad way as some of the, you know,
but
the game played out.
But in a great radio listening
way.
It's football, mister.
It was it was one of those where it's like, I'm in the same room as you guys, but should I move a little further so I don't, you know, catch any of the flying things or, you know, catch a random elbow here or whatever? I mean, because this is, you know, they are into the game so much as former players and as guys who live and breathe Bears. And I mean, those post game shows, we all know how good they were, but
no heart, no balls, and crap for brains.
I was the fly on the wall for that experience.
You moron.
Yeah, that was one of them.
The one chance I had to do that Sunday show, Doug was out. I did it with OB, and I was chagrined the Bears won. It's not what I wanted to see.
No.
I wanted to see OB is, I don't know, what is he? I know his number is 87. He might be 87 now. But even now, to this day, he scares me.
He's a big man.
Yes.
Let's go out to Big Daddy. Big Daddy, you're on. Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy is gone.
And we have more of Doug Buffon.
I would rather spend a weekend in jail than watch this game again.
And we have still more of Doug Buffon.
Put the shoe down, Chuck. Put it down. This is his dog. How do you control these dogs, by the way?
And we have still more Doug Buffon.
Haney couldn't hit a bull in the ass with a banjo.
Now, this one, I never
Caleb
got the
Haney.
Caleb Haney was not good at football, nor apparently hitting a bull in the butt with a banjo. And I don't know if that was.
What does that even mean? Where would you pull that out?
I never got the chance to ask Doug that. I don't. Maybe it was supposed to be a medal sport in the Olympics. I in Barcelona. I have no idea.
Let's get bare naked.
Okay. All right. And we have more of Doug Buffon.
Ball's flying back in his face.
Yeah, that's
this defense sucks.
And do we have more of Doug Buffon?
Hard fought game. It's going to be the best whatever since sliced breast.
Oh my God.
Doug.
The best whatever since sliced breast. Okay, Freddy Krueger. Doug goes Freddy Krueger. He was beloved by everybody in the studio, as Will Larkin said in the Tribune piece, and he was quoting Spilkes, Mitch Rosen. There's nobody who didn't. You couldn't find anybody to say anything bad about. There's always backbiting. I mean, radio is legendarily backstabbing, backbiting, and a soulless siren that keeps calling you back to the business. Mm-hmm. But with Doug, it was all legit, all sincere.
And I mentioned this, too. As a younger guy, when I first started working here back in 2005, you know, and having been a listener to the station before that and knowing who Doug Buffon is and listening to the show and whatever. So to work with him, I mean, it was a great honor, and I was excited about it. And then to get to know him, and then you become friendly with the guy. And at the time, I was writing some articles for the Bear Report, and one of the pieces I did was an in-depth chat with Doug. And Doug was so nice with... He was very giving of his time. He was always helpful. And this is a guy you mentioned. He played 14 years in the league. He's an icon around Chicago. He had been on the Score for Lord knows how many years at this time. And, you know, here's a relatively new guy that you're just getting to know. And he was super nice always to me personally. And I know this was the case with everyone else here around the station. When, you know, you might not expect that he would be, just knowing that he was a pro football player for so long. He had been on the Score for so long. But he was just a good guy. Just a good guy to be around.
Unless you're Rich Ackerman. If you don't know the story, I think it was on one of the anniversaries of Doug's passing that we brought on Rich Ackerman because he had one of the greatest moments. It was at the bunker on Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
And some weekend, Rich Ackerman was on this weekend, he was the update guy. And Rich is at one end of the hallway, and Doug's standing in the other end, and Rich gets into a three-point stance. Okay, Doug. That's all he said.
Uh-huh.
And Doug runs at him and, like, threw him right onto Belmont. Mm-hmm. He went through windows. He went through offices. He went through, right? Maybe he was in the alley out the back door. Rich Ackerman brought out the caveman gene, the troglodyte gene in Doug Buffon by getting into a three-point stance. And he just ignited, the monster is alive!
Probably not the wisest move. Well, you see it.
So funny, and Rich told that story.
And that when you would watch those guys, and Doug, Anna, and I'll put OB in there too, you watch them get into the games, or even after the games, I've done shows with both of them, and doing a show with, you know, and OB, you mentioned, he's 6'5", and even though he's an old guy, he's still big, and he's still...
Voice, those gnarled hands.
He's an intimidating presence, and he gets so fired up talking about whatever he's fired up about, and it's just the two of us in the studio, and, you know, it's like, man, I'm going to stay out of OB's way for a while here, because...
Because he can rip your head off and spit in your neck while you're bleeding out.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by Lakeside Bank. In banking, everyone talks about technology, but there are times you need a banker. Lakeside Bank has all the tech and the big guys have and personal service. Get your own Lakeside Banker. They're always here when you need them. Lakeside Bank, it's about time.
So I want to thank the Chicago Tribune for scheduling Doug Buffon for Saturday. Appreciate that a lot. The best of Buffon. It's wonderful. It should be a regular feature on The Score. And we'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk Baseball Hall of Fame and Moon Hall of Fame. Somehow they're tied in. Rosenblum and Esposito, Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to, although nobody sucked as bad as Rich Ackerman, daring Doug to run him over, and he did. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Are you puck?
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like.
We just let this play.
A Jupiter and Mars.
We were until you interrupted.
In other words,
Francis Albert Sinatra, fly me to the moon. 50 years ago, the United States landed on the moon.
Baby, kiss me.
And this, I found out from Zach Withers, our producer. I had no idea of all the reading I'd done on this, that Buzz Aldrin had a recording of this. When he stepped onto the moon, this was the first song played on the moon.
I did not know that either.
And here is, it's never an official NASA event without Walter Cronkite.
Mm-hmm.
So we flagged this from CBS, Walter Cronkite, and Buzz Aldrin's famous words.
It's a little shadowy, but he said he expected that in the shadow of the lunar module. Armstrong is on the moon. Neil Armstrong, 38-year-old American, standing on the surface of the moon. On this July 20th, 1969.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And there you go. He's on the moon. Fly Me to the Moon was then played. Buzz Aldrin, I had no idea.
Bang.
So we love ourselves some Frank. So anyways,
yes.
That ties into the Hall of Fame, and here's how. Paul Sullivan.
Please tell me.
Of the Chicago Tribune is roaming around the streets of Cooperstown, and nobody roams better than Sully.
He's a roamer.
So he found, you know, Cooperstown's a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the biggest money day of the year, biggest money weekend of the year. So going into the Hall of Fame are Harold Baines of your White Sox,
mm-hmm,
and Lee Smith of your Cubs, among others. The most notable, right, Mariano Rivera.
Mariano, no doubt.
So Mariano's going in. So Sully finds a picture in Cooperstown. It says, the sign says all day parking $42, and the 42 has pinstripes through it.
Nice.
Like Yankee pinstripes for Rivera's number. And Sully commented on it, one small step for Mariano, one giant cash grab for Cooperstown. This I found in the run-up to the Hall of Fame. This was an unbelievable thing of the deals you don't make.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that in spring training in 1996, the Yankees had a rookie shortstop who looked horrible. His name was Jeter. Something,
yeah.
Jeter.
Uh-huh.
He looked horrible. George Steinbrenner's not happy with looking horrible.
Doesn't like rookies either.
He's 21. He looked overmatched. He wasn't fluid in the field. He wasn't doing anything at the plate. Then the Yankees general manager, Brian Cashman, who is the assistant GM at the time, is recounting this story for MLB.com. He was pushing hard, meaning Steinbrenner, for a trade. Derek Jeter, this up-and-coming young rookie that we were going to go with at shortstop, didn't look good in the spring training of 96. So, therefore, we needed to trade for an everyday shortstop. Felix Fermin could be had, Cashman says, and Woody Woodward was the GM of the Mariners. And the trade partner request was Fermin to the Yankees for either Mariano Rivera or Bob Wickman.
Hmm.
We spent hours, 3 hours, trying to convince the boss not to make the trade. We huddled in Joe Torre's office in Tampa and basically banged it out, and the boss reluctantly left and allowed us not to make the move to trade Mariano Rivera for Felix Fermin. Now, just imagine, Mariano Rivera was a starter. He wasn't that Mariano Rivera.
Not yet.
The Yankees didn't know what they had. The Yankees really weren't sure. They believed in Derek Jeter, and young shortstops always look horrible. They're required to make 30 errors, right?
That's right.
So that trade, who knows what it would have done to the unanimous choice for a Hall of Fame in Rivera, and who knows what it would have done. I mean, if Jeter has to go down because they acquire Felix Fermin, I mean, what
just think of how Felix Fermin could have messed up what became the Yankees dynasty of the late 90s and into the early 2000s. I have a bunch of thoughts as you're saying that, because Jeter was a high draft pick, so, and I know they were high on him initially, obviously, with the taking him that high. But as you said, rookie shortstops, and Steinbrenner famously was making deals when he decided, well, that's it, this Jeter guy's no good, let's trade. But you move Rivera out of that setup role in those early World Series when he was setting up for John Wetland. You know, that affects the outcome of there, and then certainly the rest of his Hall of Fame career, it affects Jeter. It also reminds me, and I saw it this week, you know, you talk about if they would have made a Fermin for Mariano trade, you know, the Brock for Broglio, and he just passed this week, Ernie Broglio, right?
Did. Now, there's a footnote to this, that Felix Fermin, the Yankees passed on, they didn't make the deal, right? Felix Fermin wound up being released by Seattle the following month, prompting the Yankees to sign him on May 8th. Okay, Jeter was fine once the season began.
Mm-hmm.
He would go on to be American League Rookie of the Year. The Yankees released Felix Fermin 2 weeks later after they picked him off.
Mm.
So they still got Felix Fermin. The boss was assuaged, and because they talked him out of it, they have two Hall of Famers. And it was so cool, because every time I think of Rivera now, I think of Joe Girardi, Chicago's very own, managing the Yankees, and he sent Jeter,
Andy Pettit,
and
Posada
to the mound
to get Rivera,
to take Rivera out of his last game.
Yep. Right. That was the one, and that's the scene, and I remember it vividly because I watched it several times, where he goes to turn the ball over and he just breaks down, and I think it's Pettit he winds up just hugging like for a minute. It's a really, if you haven't seen it from Rivera's last game, I'm sure we'll see it a lot this weekend with the induction ceremony tomorrow, but some great baseball theater there. if you haven't seen it.
So Harold Baines goes into the Hall of Fame, and you were saying you had people who didn't think he deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. Were you guys getting calls for that?
Bruce and I talked Hall of Fame earlier on Inside the Clubhouse, and we got a lot of pushback on the Baines thing. The texts have cycled past, but some of them were quite nasty in their opposition to Harold going into the Hall of Fame. Listen,
I get nasty on their own. They eat their own. Let me give you this on Harold Baines.
Please.
BaseballReference.com.
Yes.
Has similarity scores.
Yes.
Now there's a conflict here in my world when you look at they will list Hall of Fame statistics and the comparison. So Harold Baines is batting. He's a 3. In the black ink, how many times you led the league in something. That's what black ink refers to. Gray ink is when you finish in the top 10. So you're not black at the top.
Yep.
You're in the gray ink 2 through 10. So the gray ink, he's a 40. The average Hall of Famer has 144. Hall of Fame monitor, which is the likelihood Bill James set up that the guy would be in the Hall of Fame, not deserving. Just the likelihood the voters would go this way, 66. Likely Hall of Famer is 100. He's nowhere near any. Okay. Harold Baines, by those standards, is nowhere near the average Hall of Famer. But if you're looking at similarity scores.
Yeah.
The player he's most similar to is Tony Perez, Hall of Famer. The next player is Al Kaline, Hall of Famer. Next is Dave Parker, not in the Hall of Fame. Fourth is Billy Williams, Hall of Famer. Fifth is Andre Dawson, Hall of Famer. Yeah. So the guy had a career that makes him similar to four of the five most similar players are Hall of Famers.
And a lot of this has come out as we've talked more about Baines with the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, but Ozzie Guillen pointed out, I believe on our airwaves, that Harold finished just shy, if you look at his career numbers. Hits, he's just shy of 3,000. RBIs, he's 1,628, which is still right up there. But 2,866 hits over the course of his career, so 134 shy of the magic 3,000 mark. He played through 3 strike years. You give him those games back, he probably gets his 3,000 hits, or he could have very easily tacked on another season at the end to try to push for 3,000. I guarantee you, some other players in his shoes, if you're sitting at 2,866, you're going to play and try and get that 3,000, right? Well, he obviously chose not to do that.
A lot of people will look at the Hall of Fame stats, the counting stats, and say, well, they'll deride him for his longevity, which I think is a stupid argument.
Yes, I agree.
Because a guy gets full credit for being able to be on a major league roster for as long as he was. Don Sutton went through the same kind of criticism.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't know how, if you're playing for more than 20 years, that's a bad thing. I don't know why you should be the object of derision, because you've proven at whatever age you are able to contribute and you're worthy of a major league roster spot. I see nothing wrong with that, with longevity as helping a guy get towards the numbers you were talking about with him.
Harold was the first player taken in the 1977 draft, first overall. Paul Molitor, I want to say, went third that year.
Mm-hmm.
But Harold was the very first selection out of a high school in the Baltimore area. He was a full-time White Sox starter by the age of 21 in 1980. And as you mentioned, he literally, the first half of his life, Or the first 42 years, exactly half of his life, he was in a big league uniform. He was a big league player from 21 until he retired with the White Sox at 42.
I'm sorry, you get full marks for lasting 20 years, 21 years in the big leagues. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will go out to, we'll talk to David Schuster. I think he's at Wrigley, right? Is he at Wrigley?
He should be at Wrigley.
And he can fake it even if he's not. We have some updates from Wrigley on injured players and what's going on with them. And
yeah, we have a weird lineup too for the Cubs. I don't know if you've seen it, but
I have seen it. We'll bring that to you and everybody. And again, Mike Esposito is back.
Hi.
Sitting in for Spiegel, who is sitting in for Mike Esposito. And as you recall, Espo, nothing, nothing says Saturday suckage like David Schuster.
I remember it well.
Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.